Welcome to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston, where we will learn refreshing truth that is straight from the Bible.
Hi, this is John Edmiston, and this is Uplifting Moments. And today we will be looking at the topic of the strong and the weak, and how we can minister to different people in different ways, and what God will say to you, and what God will say to someone else. So here it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. You see, what Paul is telling us is that God approaches different people in different ways. Now, God wants all of us to find Jesus. God wants all of us to know about the cross and the resurrection, the ascension, the baptism in the Holy Ghost. God wants us all to know about his power in our lives. God wants all of us to know about the kingdom of God and the blessings of the kingdom of God. And God wants all of us to become holy and to find ourselves in the image of Jesus Christ. So the center of the gospel remains the same. But how we get to the center of the gospel is sometimes very different, because people come from different walks of life, different cultures, they have different age groups and understandings. And God approaches all these people in different ways. So wherever you are, God's got a word for you that's going to point you towards Jesus. And you have to go to God and say, Lord, speak to me and help me to find Jesus. Because Jesus is at the center of the universe, the center of the church, and he's at the center of your life as well. And God wants you to discover Jesus Christ in all his fullness, his love, his grace, his mercy, his justice, and everything else like that. But God has to get you there, and someone has to minister to you, someone like me or someone else, and they will minister to you, and your pastor will give you grace. And God has raised up all sorts of people with all different messages, because each of us has a different need. Each of us needs to hear a different thing if we're to find our way to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll give you a bit of an illustration here. In my secular work, I was a career counselor. And for over a decade, I ran a career counseling consultancy. As I ministered to all those people that came to me for guidance, I found that people were incredibly different. That someone would be fantastic as a bookkeeper, and they loved getting the books balanced, and they rejoiced when those books were balanced. Another person would be great as a plumber, but hated bookkeeping. Another person would make a fine doctor or a psychologist. And each of them needed different training to reach their destiny and to reach their career. And it's a bit like that in the spiritual life. God has gifts for each of us. One is a healer, one is a prayer warrior, another person is an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher. There are many, many different gifts of the Spirit. And some people have a gift of mercy, others a gift of administration. So God has different spiritual careers for us, and we each of us need different spiritual training to carry out those spiritual careers or gifts that God has placed in our life. So here, Paul says, to the weak he is weak, to the Jews he became a Jew, etc., etc. We have to adapt our teaching and our message to the people that we're trying to reach. Two groups stand out in the Bible, and for the sake of simplicity, I'll call them the strong and the weak. Now, the strong people are the people that have power in life. They're able to make decisions. They have freedom. They have money. They have strength. They have a roof over their head. They are empowered people. They're the upper middle class and upper class people. that can go out and pretty much buy what they want when they want. They might have to save a bit, but they have a lot of strength. And they were the slave owners in Jesus's day. They were people like Philemon, who had a spare room or this or that, or like Mary, the mother of Mark, who had an upper room where they could put 120 people, and where they had households with upstairs maids and downstairs maids and everything else like that. So the powerful people in the Bible, like King Nebuchadnezzar, they were spoken to in a very strong way. So Jesus would speak to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the leaders of Israel very bluntly and very strongly, and he would tell them to do justice and do mercy and to use their strength wisely and well. Now, an example of that is in the book of James. Now, the book of James was written to very rich, wealthy Jews who were going around the Roman Empire doing a lot of trading and business, and they obviously had staff because he talks about them not paying their wages and things like that. So in the book of James, it's written to wealthy people. It's written to people who have a lot of power. And this group of people in the book of James was very abusive. Twice, the apostle James, who is the brother of Jesus, writes to them and accuses them of murdering people, of murdering righteous people and of murdering poor people and of murdering people when they couldn't get their own way. Now, what a terrible thing to write to your church, to write to these Christian Jews who were scattered through the empire. These were Jewish believers, what we'd call Messianic Jews. These were Jewish believers, and they were murdering one another. Now, that's a terrible state for the church to be in. Not only that, is that they weren't paying proper wages to their workers. And so he says, look, the wages that you have withheld from your laborers in your fields, these will cry out against you on the day of judgment. So let's look at that. Let's give you an idea of how tough James could be. It's James chapter 5. And here he is speaking to these rich, powerful, Christian, Jewish businessmen that were doing their trips around the Roman Empire. And here he's talking about how they withheld wages. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. In other words, they were stingy, and it was going to go against them on the day of judgment. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields, and which has been withheld by you, cries out against you. And the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. What a stunning condemnation of these rich Christians who were barely Christian and who were not doing the right thing at all. They were killing people. They were abusing righteous people who got in their way. They were not paying poor people. And their riches, despite being prosperous, their riches were going to go against them on the day of judgment because they have fattened themselves for the day of slaughter. They have made themselves wealthy and rich. They were selfish. They were very, very unjust. And so here James communicates bluntly to them, telling them to practice righteousness. And if they didn't practice righteousness, they were going to be in tremendous trouble with God. And he preaches repentance. He preaches social justice. He preaches things to the powerful. Remember, these people are wealthy. They're powerful. They've got staff. They've got large lands. They've got houses. They're wearing fantastic clothes, which we see in James chapter 2. So these people are rich and abusive. And so in the Old Testament, we find that the prophets frequently come up against these people who believe in God but don't do anything righteous at all. They just say, oh, we believe the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, and they trust in religion, but they don't do anything nice to anybody. And so the prophets and James, they rebuke these rich Christians who do nothing for the poor. So they have a gospel to the strong. This gospel to the strong pounds away at the wicked, unrepentant hearts of these powerful people. And it deals with pride. The gospel to the strong, as these prophets speak, as James speaks, it deals away with human pride and planning. Okay, let's look at chapter 4 in James. It's a pretty interesting little book. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. So here he is putting the finger into the face of these rich people and saying, look, you know the right thing to do and you're not doing it and you're sinning. You're holding back your money from the poor. You're not being kind. You're just being abusive and powerful and proud. And you say, okay, we'll go over there and do business for a year. We'll go off to China. We'll go off to Mexico. We'll go off to here or there. And we'll go and make a whole ton of money. And we'll get rich and we'll get more powerful. And we don't care about this and we don't care about that. And they're not looking to God for guidance. They're looking to their own human plans, their own human will. They are not submitted to God. And so James is saying to these powerful rich people, you need to submit to God. You need to humble yourself before the Lord. For he who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So he's saying to them, you need to do your planning in the Lord. You need to say, if the Lord wills, we shall do this or that, rather than running around in human boastfulness all the time. Now, there's a lot of boastful people out there, and they need to humble their plans before the Lord, or those plans will be destroyed by God. So the gospel isn't just about people getting saved and getting lifted up. The gospel is also about the sense of us needing to humble ourselves before the Lord and get rid of our pride and walk in holiness. Because as I said, introducing all this, we've got to get to Jesus. We've got to get to that place where we're humble, where we're holy, where we're gracious, where we're good, and where we're full of love. Because the two commandments of God are love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, these rich, boastful people were not loving anyone much. They were running around in their pride and their arrogance. And so God speaks to them and says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. And that's in, I think, James chapter 3. So you go back and read the book of James, and you'll find that that book is full of wisdom for dealing with the strong, rich, powerful people who run around full of pomp and ego and disregard God. It's a very blunt epistle, but it's an interesting epistle. And I want you to look at it as the gospel to the rich and powerful. And we need to preach that gospel a little bit more. And the rich and powerful need to hear what James has to say about their boastful lifestyle. That's enough for now. This is John Edmiston signing off with Uplifting Moments. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to Uplifting Moments with Pastor John Edmiston. This is a faith ministry, and if the Lord has touched your heart, you may give securely online at eternity.church.